They keep enjoying the things of God and don't even know it, don't even realize it. He is my life. He is life. He is life. Praise God. It says in John chapter 1, when Jesus came, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In him was light and life. He's your life. I just like to meditate on that. I just like to think about that. He is life. He is life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, the life of God is in you. And in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For the word of God is life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." That's Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. The word of God, God's word is life. And you might say, well, it's written down here in a book. But the author of those words, the one who spoke those words, he's the one that's our life. He is life. And that's why we need to keep his word in the midst of us. And you know, the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, King Solomon. And he was giving advice to his son. And he was saying, you keep the word of God. Now, they didn't have a book like this. They had some scrolls that Moses had written and some songs that David had written. He said, keep that in front of you all the time. If they'd had television or internet, he'd have said, don't concentrate on television. You can watch it. Don't concentrate on the internet. You can get on the internet. But concentrate. Put your energy, put your focus on God. Whether you're reading it out of the Bible or whether you're just being still and he's talking to you. That's life. That's where your life is. When you come to an emergency situation or need advice or need help, that TV is not going to help you. That internet is not going to help you. Now, they'll talk like they do. In fact, one time not long ago, I don't know when it was, the Lord spoke to me and he said, television is teaching people how to live, how to think. You know, you watch those, we used to call them sitcoms, situational comedies, maybe. Sitcom, we'd watch those. There's nothing wrong with those, or most of them. But anyway, it's not that someone sat down and said, I'm going to corrupt the world. No, it was just something funny, something enjoyable. I like to watch different shows, and back in the old days, my dad always watched Bonanza, you know. We always watched Bonanza. Now, I know there were other shows. He didn't constantly. Bonanza and football. There's nothing wrong with Bonanza. It's a good show. But they would come into a situation, and then they would have to work through it to a good resolution, right? Before television, we had books, same thing. We'd have characters. Some issue would come up, maybe more than one. They'd have to work through it and come to a good resolution. Well, that teaches people how to think. John will watch a TV show and they'll find a dead body. And the girl always screams. He says, why do they scream? Because they're teaching you how to act. So that when you find a dead body, you're going to scream. They're teaching you how to think and how to act and how to get through situations. I never did watch much of those. It's like General Hospital and As the World Turns. Oh, there was drama happening all the time. Somebody was doing something and getting caught. And they were teaching people how to live. Drama queens today came out of that error. They're teaching people how to live. Well, God says, look, I wrote something much better than that, to teach you how to live, teach you how to think, teach you how to talk. When you're in an emergency situation, you don't have to run to the police. You don't have to run to the psychiatrist. You don't have to make up some kind of lie. You don't have to get a makeover. Get a spiritual makeover with my word. Check and see what I say. That's life. Well, that part was free. Thank you, Jesus. Well, what is our first one? What's the next screen after that one? All right. The life of God is in you. Let's go ahead. That's that Proverbs that we just read. Keep going. I didn't lose it after all. One more. What is the will of God? One more. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, it's hard to have faith in something if you don't know if that's God's will or not. Different situations in my life, I've had to make a decision, offered a job. I wasn't sure if I should take it or not. I want to please God. What's God's will? Is it God's will to take the job or not take the job? You understand? You've been in similar situations, perhaps, when you want to know the will of God. And you want to use faith, but if you don't know the will of God, you don't know where to put your faith. You know, I've had different people speak to me. One person spoke to me and said, an elderly relative is sick, dying, actually, in the hospital. I want you to pray. Well, I said, Lord, I don't know what to pray. In my natural mind, an elderly person, sick, uncomfortable, maybe I should pray that they go ahead to the Lord. But you might not be finished with their life here. Maybe I should pray that they get well. And this was a quandary to me. Till finally someone's probably John. He's always giving me wisdom. John said, well, if it's their time to die, they can die well, healed. They don't have to die sick, right? In fact, I've known of several people that just died. Not sick. Not in the hospital, no problem. And so he said, always pray for healing. And then if it is their time, the Lord can take them well. Amen? That's a good advice, wasn't it? So that gave me something to know the will of God and put my faith in, right? But when I don't know the will of God, I don't know how to put my faith in it. Well, let's go ahead. John 6, 38 and 39, Jesus is talking and he says, he said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, who would that be? Right. Jesus is saying that. So who sent Jesus? God. God the Father. God the Father sent him, and he said, I'm going to do the will of God the Father. That sounds logical, doesn't it? The next slide says, this is the will of the Father who sent me. When I read that, I got kind of excited. I thought, oh, good. Now we're going to know God's will. It says, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. I said, well, Lord, that's a little bit confusing. But he said, when I gave Jesus an assignment, I expected him to carry it out. That's my will. When I give you an assignment, I expect you to carry it out. See, I can't just hop up one Saturday night and say, John, I'm not going to go to church Sunday. My time to help you pastor is over. That's not. My assignment from God is to pastor this church. Right now, there might come a time it will end. But I'm saying right now. So if I want to do the will of God, and I have faith for the will of God, I need to continue doing what he assigned me to do, right? And one thing he always assigns us to do is love one another. To love God, to pray for one another. Amen? Well, let's see what's the next slide. Now, what is the will of God concerning healing? You know, you get to a point in your life and say, well, I guess I'm just getting old. I'll have to put up with these aches and pains. I've got to put up with memory loss or hearing loss or eyesight loss. I've got to put up with being lonely and forgotten. It's just, I'm old. That's just the way it is. Well, let's go to the Word of God. What does God's Word say? whatever it is, not just getting old. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is Peter talking, and he's talking to Cornelius. And he says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So that was Jesus' assignment. He had the Holy Spirit and he had power. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Just stay right there. For God was with him. So think of something good Jesus did while he was on earth. Can you think of something? Heal the sick. What else?
Raise the dead.
What else? Gave sight to the blind. Created food, water to wine. He was doing good. And we have, the Bible itself says, if you tried to write down everything Jesus did while he was on earth, there's not enough paper, not enough ink to do it. The world couldn't hold all that information. So he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, isn't that interesting? It indicates that if a person was needing healing, it was because the devil was oppressing them. That's what that indicates. If a person needed healing, that person was oppressed by the devil. I know the devil wants to destroy man. He wants to destroy all the things that are good and of God. And Jesus went around healing a few. Healing the young. Healing the easy cases. No? He healed them all. He healed them all. Let's go to the next screen. So, number one, we're going to talk about different ways you can get healed. Now, let's just be straight up honest. Don't ever get the idea that I think it's wrong to go to the doctor. It's not wrong. It's right to go to God. It's right to go to God. If he says go to the doctor, by all means, go. If he says get some medicine, by all means, get it and pray over it and take it. If he says you go to the hospital, go to the emergency room, don't ever think that I would be disappointed or that's against what I'm teaching. No. I'm teaching to go to God and then do what he says. There are times he's going to say, if you'll stay here about 30 minutes, your stomach will stop hurting. You know, I know people and their child sneezes and they're at the emergency room. When if they would just wait a few minutes, that the child, the fever's and everything's gone. So I try not to be too quick to jump, but I am quick to obey the Lord, whatever he says do. But there are several ways to access this healing. And I want to tell you, I'm still learning. I still have things in my body that are not healed. Now, you've seen me go through some things, even the 2 years that we've been here. Remember that time I fell over that doggy gate, that baby gate? I thought I could step over it, and one foot did fine, and the other one didn't. And down I went, baby gate and all, and hurt myself severely. I decided, I went to the Lord, and I said, I want you to heal me. I think if I went to the doctor, there's nothing they can do. Just say, stay off of it, or put hot and cold on it, or things my mother told me. So I'm going to do those at home, and I'm not going to go to the doctor. And I'm going to believe that I'm miraculously healed. And you saw me hobble around for a week or so, but then I'm working fine. Amen? Working fine. So I want to tell you there's some things in my body I'm still working on. You see, I'm still wearing glasses. So obviously my eyes are not yet healed. Why? Not God's problem, my problem. So I'm still working through these things my own self. However, I believe that God is going to heal me in every area. So number one, you can be healed by believing and speaking God's word. Now, one of the Bible verses says, confess God's word. Which that's kind of an old-fashioned word, confess. That we think that means confess your sins. Well, you can, but it really just means speak out loud. Speak out loud. So believe and speak God's Word. And I went to Keith Moore's website, and I have these 101 things that God said about healing. I'm going to give them to you. Take them home if you want. Read them if you want. They're Bible verses, but they've been slightly changed to make it more personal. 101 things God said. Amen. So you can take this home. Look at number 11. As your days, so shall your strength be. And you might say, well, I just can hardly get through the day. I have to lie down or take a nap or something. Well, start confessing this or saying this and believing it. As your days, as my days, so I make it personal. As my days, so shall my strength be. I've got strength for today. So I'm dragging around. I think I'll get some iced tea. And on the way to the refrigerator, I say, as my days, so shall my strength be. Amen. So I'm believing and speaking God's word. I have an example. Go to the next one, please. Psalm 107:20 is probably in here. And it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Number 21. John's already found it. Number 21. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from your destructions. So these are good things that you can say. It doesn't say heal me from what. You could apply it to anything. You could heal my mind, heal my body, heal my attitude. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Another scripture you could use, Psalm 103:2-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases. So I can say my diseases are healed. All of my diseases are healed. To believe and to speak. There's one more, I think. 3 John 1:2. I think that's number 101 on your list. 3 John 1:2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. God wants you to be in health. Well, you can say that's nice, but you should start saying that about yourself. God wants me to be in health. God wants me to be healthy. God wants me to be healthy. Yes, sometimes your diet has something to do with it. Sometimes exercise has something to do with it. God wants you to be healthy. He's not happy when you're sick, when you're hurt, when you're creeping around, when you're bedfast. He's not happy. He's sad because you're hurting. And he doesn't want you to hurt. And so one way to access this wonderful healing gift of God is to believe and speak his word about yourself. Speak it about yourself. Amen. Or about others. There's a second way. You can be healed by someone laying hands on you for healing. And you know, sometimes we do that here in this church. When the Lord moves on us, John will go up and put his hands on people, maybe on their shoulders, maybe on their head, maybe on their middle abdomen part. He doesn't like to touch ladies inappropriately. So sometimes he'll say, Hope, put your hand right here on somebody. And then he'll put his hand on top of Hope's hand. Not to be inappropriate. But it says in the Bible that you can have hands laid on you and be healed. What's the first scripture, Hope? Mark 16:18. This is Jesus talking and giving instructions before he went to heaven. He said, believers will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Believers will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So this is a very valid biblical way to impart healing. Is the person laying hands going to heal you? No. God's going to heal you. God's going to heal you. But if they're being used by God, sometimes a point of contact is such a good thing. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Next, Acts 9:12. This is right after Paul had an encounter with Jesus, had an epiphany. And what an epiphany. It knocked him off his horse. And he was blind. And yet he saw a light, and it was Jesus. Well, he continued to be blind. They had to lead him into Damascus. Verse 12 says, in a vision, Paul has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so he could receive his sight. So he had this vision. He didn't receive his sight. He just had this vision. Now the next verse is verse 19. So Ananias went his way and entered the house. Now Ananias did what Paul saw in the vision. He did. He laid hands on Paul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this laying on of hands is a valid way to receive healing. The other scripture we have is James 5:14-15 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, elder in some churches is an actual title. But I think in this scripture it means a mature person. Someone who believes in healing. Don't get someone who doesn't believe in healing to pray for you to be healed. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I've seen I've seen wonderful things. Wonderful, wonderful things. I was married before to a man who was a Baptist minister, and he didn't really believe in all the supernatural things that sometimes we talk about. But one of the young girls in our church was very sick, and the doctors could not figure out what was wrong. She was home, and her mother called the pastor, my husband, said, please come over here and pray for my daughter. So we went over there. And he prayed for her, held her little hand. She was in the bed and held her hands. I think she was about 12 years old. And the mother came over and said, I've got some oil. Well, I didn't know if my husband believed in anointing with oil or not. But he took the oil. He's a Baptist minister. Took the oil, and he anointed her little forehead, and he prayed that she would be completely healed. And by the time we left their house, she was up and around. They took her back to the doctor the next day. He said, I can't find anything wrong, and she seems perfectly healthy. So whether it's easier to have someone who believes in healing to pray for you to be healed. Amen. Amen. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Amen. So we've got method one, believe and speak the word of God. Method two, have someone lay hands on you. Now we're to number three. You can be healed by someone speaking the word of knowledge. Perhaps you've been in our services when John will say, somebody's here has a pain in a certain part of their body. He might say your knee, your foot, your back. I used to think, well, that's silly. If you have a group of people, somebody has a pain in their back. If you have a group of people, somebody has a pain in their head. But then the Lord began to show me that's not necessarily true, because I've seen over and over someone would respond and say, well, I have a pain where you said, and sometimes it's more than one person. I have that pain. And then because they responded to that word of knowledge, John would lay hands and pray for that person, or I would lay hands and pray for that, or another minister. So that's a valid way, a word of knowledge. If someone says, I feel that there's someone in this room and the Lord wants to heal you of whatever, if that's you, go receive it. Don't just sit there and say, well, it might be me, or I don't know if it's me, or I don't deserve to be healed. No, no, no. Throw all that away and say, they called it out. I'm going for it. Amen. And here's a scripture, Luke 13:12. This is that woman, you know, that was so bowed over. 18 years, I think. Jesus saw her and he said, he called her to him and he said, see, some words came out of his mouth. He said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. He didn't just lay hands. He didn't just walk around the room. He didn't say hocus pocus, Wild Bill locus. No, he spoke his faith. He spoke his assignment. Remember, his assignment was to do good and heal all that are oppressed by the devil. He spoke his assignment, said, woman, you are loosed. She didn't look loosed. She didn't feel loosed. But he said, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And she was able to stand upright. Amen. He spoke this word of knowledge. Luke 5, 24 and 25. This is that guy they let down through the roof. You remember that story in the Bible? They couldn't get in. And they had a man that had the palsy. And he was on a cot or something. Let him down through the roof. And it says, verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of God, Son of Man, has power on earth to forgive sins, Jesus said, he spoke, he said some words. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise. The man was not arisen. The man was lying in the bed. He couldn't get out of bed. Jesus said, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And the next verse says, immediately he rose up before them, took up what had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Jesus spoke this word of knowledge. God did the miracle. Amen. Just like you can speak word of knowledge, and God will do the miracle. John 5, 8, Jesus said to him, this is that man that was at the pool of Bethesda, and said, I don't have anybody to get me in the water. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Amen. So, we've got three things. Believe and speak the word over yourself. Confess this. Charles Capps and some others say, read these over yourself three times a day. If you're taking medicine, you take your medicine like the doctor prescribed. Well, read these over yourselves three times a day. And if you don't get any better, increase the dosage. Amen. So believe and speak the word, have hands laid on you, respond to a word of knowledge, and now the fourth thing that we're going to talk about, you can be healed by watching and listening to preaching. I've been in services, nobody gave an altar call, nobody laid hands, nobody had a word of knowledge, but somebody would say, you know, I came in here sick and I'm leaving well. Well, how did that happen? I don't know, I just suddenly felt warm all over. And now I don't have that pain, I'm well. Now you don't have to be in a church service, you can be watching TV or on the internet or listening to a CD or any method of hearing someone preach. But they cannot be preaching doubt, because you won't get anything. They've got to be preaching the word of God and preaching faith in God's ability to heal. You can be healed. I'll save that for a minute. Go ahead. Luke 6, 17. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. That's why they were there, to hear and be healed. And so if someone comes in, I'm believing this, someone comes in our church services, they're sick, they hear the word of God, they leave healed. That's what we want. Amen? Now, I know of people that were saved by watching Billy Graham on television. We met this gentleman one time in downtown Dallas, having a nice conversation. He was a professional man, and he said, let me tell you how I got saved. He knew we were Christians. He said, I was an alcoholic, and I was in my room alone. My wife had left me. She took the kids. I was down to nothing. And I had the TV on, and I was in kind of a drunken stupor. And Billy Graham came on and was preaching. This is a true story. This is a true event. And he said, I didn't even have the gumption to get up and turn the channel. And Billy Graham was preaching, and all I know is suddenly a light came out of that television set and engulfed the room and pushed me up against the wall. And I said, Jesus, I need you, come be my Savior. And he said, I was saved. See, that's God. God doesn't want to have only 1, 2, 3 methods. No, he will come to people where they are. He knew that man's heart was broken. and ready to be filled with the love of God. Amen. I don't know if you've heard of Catherine Kuhlman. She's passed away since. I think maybe she passed away in the 70s. But for years, she had a great healing ministry. People could listen on the radio or they could attend where she was preaching. But I've heard people, several testimonies of people healed just by listening to her on the radio. And I remember hearing her myself. She'd say, reach out and touch your radio. Let that be your point of contact. God is going to heal you. In fact, we had a man come to our church many years ago, and he wasn't very tall. He was about this tall. And he carried around a violin. Was it a violin? Or some kind of case. Maybe it wasn't a violin, but a big case. And he preached to us. He opened this case, and there was a brace in there. He said, this used to be my brace, and it covered me from the back of my head all the way down to the soles of my feet and my arms. He said, I had muscular dystrophy, and I had to wear this brace. I had to stay in a wheelchair. I had to have someone care for me 24 hours a day. And he said, when I became an adult, excuse me, I lived somewhat on my own, but I had to have caretakers come in and feed me. If I tried to get food to my mouth, it would just go everywhere. I had to have someone bathe me. I had to have someone take me. And he said, I heard about Catherine Kuhlman. He said, I was 21 years old. And I lived in a certain town in California, and she was preaching at another town in California. And I told everybody, I'm going to get on the bus and go to that service. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. He went to that service, and he was totally healed. He took that brace off in the service. He could walk. He could move. He could function. And he never needed it again. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's someone I met. That's someone I knew. And I've heard many, many, many other stories. Amen. Many people have been saved and healed by watching Billy Burke and other evangelists on television. Billy Burke just recently has been to a church in Fort Worth and has spoken, and many miracles have come out of that. I think I shared one or two of them with you. Billy Burke himself was healed at a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. He had cancer. He was 8 years old. He had 2 months to 1 month to live. And his grandmother said, the minute she touches you, you're going to be healed. And when they got there, the auditorium was totally full. People were standing around outside, couldn't get in. But an usher saw them and said, come to the side door, and slid them in. And the Lord told her, and she called him out, touched him, and he was healed. And now he's in his 60s preaching the gospel, touching other people. Amen. Hallelujah. So I said all that to say, it is God's will for you to be healed, for you to be completely healed, totally healed, pain-free. Now, will pain come? Yes. And then you say, get down. Stay away from me. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm covered by Jesus. It's will for me to be healed, and I am healed. So I just advise you, please, like me, be like me, and take it today. Today I'm healed. Today I'm not suffering. Today I don't have symptoms of diabetes. Today my body is strong. Today I don't have those problems. Oh, I used to have headaches. You couldn't even think about them. I had to go to bed. You know, those kind of headaches. One day John had enough of it, and he put his hands on me and he said, you're never going to have a headache again in Jesus' name. And I haven't. And I haven't. It was a miracle of God. Amen? But like I said, some things I'm still dealing with. One time I went to a meeting and the guy said, before I preach, I want to pray for everybody who wears glasses and you don't want to. I want you to take your glasses off and put your own hands on your own eyes, and I'm going to pray. And he prayed a real simple prayer that everyone's eyes would be healed. And then he went on and started preaching his sermon. And I reached down to pick up my glasses, and I thought, wait a minute. If I believe I'm healed, I wouldn't put my glasses back on, would I? So I just stuck them in my purse. And you know, for about 10 years, I didn't wear glasses. I didn't need glasses. I was healed. But then you see I still have some glasses on. So little by little, things got blurry and things got small. And so I'm praying for another healing of my eyes. I want another healing, that I don't have to wear glasses, that my eyes are totally healed. Things are not fuzzy, and I don't see, what is that, astigmatism, where you see? Oh, yeah. I'm praying I don't have that, and I'm speaking it. I don't have that. I don't need glasses. My eyes are perfectly healed, and it has not manifested yet. You see me still wearing these glasses, but one day you'll see me, and I won't be wearing glasses. Amen? So be, you don't have to imitate me, but be like me. Believe that God wants you healed of every single thing. Now you got to guard your words. You can't be going around saying, oh, his back is killing me. No. You got to speak and believe what you want. Speak and believe what you want. I want to be healed. I want no glasses. I want perfect eyesight. I don't want any of these conditions that the doctors say that I have. I don't want them. They're not mine, and I refuse them. And so I'm taking my healing today. Amen. Say that with me. Say,
I'm taking
my healing
today.
It's mine today. God said it's mine, then it's mine. Taking it today. And that's how your conversation needs to be, whatever you think about it. You know, I was playing with Javon. He had this soccer ball, but it's a half of a soccer ball, so it will slide on the floor, so you can play indoors. So we have kind of a hall in our house, and he'd kick it to me, and I'd kick it to him. He'd kick it to me, and I'd kick it to him. And one time, he let loose and kicked it, and it hit my toe. I'm sure it broke my toe. I had to go to bed. John, you have to watch him, because I got to go to bed. And it hurt a lot. It hurt a lot. Oh, I have to say, it was several months it hurt a lot. But today, it doesn't hurt. I'm healed. Healed. So I don't give up. If it doesn't happen instantly, I want it to happen instantly. But if it doesn't, it's still mine. John, you have something to say.
Yes, honey. Years ago, the Lord taught me to, and it saved me a lot of sickness. He says, don't ever call a hurt mine. Because when you do, you own it. It's yours. Yeah, often people say, oh, my nose is running. I'm catching a cold. Oh, yes, I got it. See, when you do things like that, you're saying, I'm owning it. And so that saved me a lot of sickness. Do not say it's mine, or I'm getting it, or I'm catching it. No, I'm not catching it. I'm not denying the symptom. I'm denying its right to be in my body. In other words, if my nose is running, I'm just beginning to speak healing and deny it to stay. Amen. I don't call my runny nose, because I don't want to own it. So what I'm saying is, God has said, whatever we declare is mine, we own it.
So we don't own sickness and disease.
I'm not saying deny that. Acknowledge it's there, but you're taking faith to remove it. And please don't say it's mine. Oh, my heart attack. No, you know, when did I had that stroke, honey?
08.
08, and that's when God told me, he said, don't you call it my stroke. Never do that. He don't even speak hard to me. Then he did, and I didn't. And he's able to move me through where I have no effect of the stroke.
Thank you, Jesus.
But that was an important thing, because if I started calling it my stroke, and the doctors would always say, your stroke. I said, no, it's not mine. I don't own it. I had one, but I don't own it. That's what I'm saying.
So and important.
We've both been through that. Elizabeth had a stroke, but she didn't call it my stroke. We don't lie about it or try to hide it like we're ashamed. But we say, I had one, but it's not mine. That's real important. What you just said is real important. Did Jesus take stripes on his back?
Yes.
Why? They call it my healing. See, but it's important to realize if he took those stripes for the healing, it's not God's will for you to be sick, right? Because God got Jesus to take it. So he took your sicknesses. So if he took them, they're not yours no more. That's very important what Elizabeth said. That's why we can say, oh, my shoulder's hurting, but it's not mine. So therefore, God's will is to heal my shoulder and take away the pain. Amen? That's very important. Those thoughts. You are the one going to decide what happens to this body. See, like, In my family, on the men's side, most of all my uncles and everything died from heart attacks. And a cousin of mine said, well, Johnny, we get used to wear a beard, we're going to die of a heart attack. And I said, no, I'm not. He looked at me. I said, I'm not. Jesus took my family history. He took my family history. So I died in Christ, and now I'm raised up as a son of God, a child of God. So I don't take my family background. I know it's there. I know what I got to pray about. I got to pray against the heart attack, right?
Okay. Thank you, Jesus.
So none of it's mine because Jesus took it for me.
Hallelujah. Thank God he did. Thank God Jesus took it for us. Well, let's stand up. I hear the thunder rolling.
I want to share, we prayed for my friend Karen a few weeks ago, and praise the Lord, she had a good report. She does not have MS. She does not have any permanent damage, so praise the Lord for that. She's
Hallelujah.
Only like 40-something years old.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He is so good. So good. Yes.
For Nancy Bergen, remember her husband passed. They thought she had a stroke, but they don't know what's wrong. She's home from the hospital. She's doing fine.
She's doing fine. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Well, Brother Odell went to the emergency room last night, and I said, Brandon, how's your dad? And he said, he's home doing fine. So your prayers for this church body, your prayers for yourself, your prayers for your family, your coworkers, other acquaintances, they're effective. Yes. Don't ever let the devil talk you out of it. They're effective. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we call your healing power into our lives. We trust you. We believe you. And now we say what we believe, that you are the healer. You're healing us, and we receive you as healer. Bless these people going home, Father. Bless them that there'll be no accidents, no problems, and they'll get home safely. Thank you, Father, for this church and what you're doing here. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shout with me, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
From the top of my head,
to the soles of my feet.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You're dismissed. Amen.